What's up, sandwich heads? Today on Steve-O's Sandwich Reviews, we've got the tips and tricks to the best sandwich order. And it all starts with this little guy right here. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Partial to pastrami, craving a Cubano. Yeah, sounds delicious, but boom! Add the crisp, refreshing taste of Pepsi Zero Sugar and cue the fireworks. Lunch, dinner, or late night, it'll be a sandwich worth celebrating. Trust me, your boy's eaten a lot of sandwiches in his day, and the one thing I can say with absolute fact, every bite is better with Pepsi.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Boom! We are live. Noche UFC post-fight show here with my boy Blake. I'm Jonathan Ramlakhan. We got you covered from last night's UFC. We had Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko in an awesome fight, which ended up in a draw. Also, the card overall was pretty phenomenal. Before we get into that, obviously, we got my boy Blake here. How you doing, my man?
Hello, people of the interweb. What's going on, my man John? How are we doing? Looking fabulous, as always. I'm fantastic. I know we're doing this the next day instead of last night. I just had a beautiful breakfast this morning and woke up feeling feisty, getting ready for football the rest of the day. But I could not do that without talking about last night's fights. And Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko was a fucking war. That's exactly what it was. I mean, those two women were going at it. And honestly, what was so funny is I was talking to my mom at one point and she asked me, she's like, oh, who won the fight tonight? And I was like, in my unprofessional opinion, I don't know if I could really give you a great answer because I can argue it either way. I think John's probably feeling the same way. The outcome that I did not expect was an absolute draw, especially in a championship bout. Does it make sense? I can see an argument for it. Not as much as I can see an argument for a winner on either side. But no, I think the overall card was awesome. Last night, those two women went to battle, and I'm still a little head scratched on the actual draw outcome. I mean, you see a fight like that, you want to see somebody come away with the belt, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about one of the best fights at women's flyweight that we've seen in a really long time, right? Valentina has really dominated that division, and when Alexa Grasso upset her earlier in the year, that was something that really no one expected. So I definitely don't want to let the scorecards and the judging overshadow the performance that we got between both women, right? Because you definitely want to give credit to Valentina Shevchenko. She was having a lot of good moments in that fight. I mean, she dominated, not dominated, but she had a strong points where she was able to take Alexa Grasso down and just keep her down there and do her thing. But also, shout out to Alexa Grasso. Yeah. This time around, she was able to build back up a lot better. She was able to land that power jab and then in second round actually drop Valentina, which isn't something that we've seen before. I don't remember or recalling seeing somebody drop Valentina Shevchenko before, maybe outside of Amanda Nunes, but in that division right there in her recent title range. But I just – that was – it was an excellent fight. Alexa Grasso fought an absolute war. These ladies put on an absolute banger. Like you said, I thought...
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
It was 2-2 going into the fourth or into the fifth. I could have seen how some people saw it 3-1 Valentina going into the fifth, right? There was different options, but I think, like you said, it would have made more sense to see a winner coming out of this. But now it's just the next question is, okay, are we going to see a third fight? What do you think? I'm curious, what's your thoughts? Do you think we see a third fight?
I think it definitely opens up the window for it because now what you've done is you've had Grasso win one, and then it would have been better if it was 1-1 because then I think you definitely would have gotten a rematch. But this was such a good fight that I think a lot of people who were scoring it, at least if you saw all the tweets come in from all the sideline judges while you're watching the fights, a lot of people did think it was Valentina that was up. I can see your argument. 2-2, I kind of also said 2-2 going into the fifth. So I'm like, dude, I really don't know. It's a toss-up. And depending on how you're judging what certain parts, I know you and I differ on the 10-8 round of the fifth round, and we can maybe get into that. But I definitely think you have to run this back because you're like, okay, one, not only has Shevchenko and Grasso been fantastic the first two times. The first time, Grasso finished Shevchenko. The second time, she could not put her away. And again, depending on how you looked at it, Shevchenko could have won that fight. Okay, so now you've seen that not only is Shevchenko and Grasso a great matchup, but that first win that Grasso had over Shevchenko was not a fluke. It was not the best day she'll ever have. She is 100% legit, here to not quit, and absolutely a badass bitch. Like, she is going up against one of the greatest of all time in Shevchenko, and that is not even debatable. She's one of the greatest of all time. So when she's given her two back-to-back bouts of just, like, pure hell, why the fuck would we not want to see a third one?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Like you said, this is the matchup that we've waited so long for Valentina to have. Like, there, she has not had a challenger that gave her an actual run for her money in recent times. It took her a long time for us to see. And it could be that Valentina is getting up there in age, right? 35 years old and isn't by any means old. But when you talk about the wear and tear, the amount of championship defenses, the amount of camps that she put herself through, that's when you think about, okay, how much tread are the tires of Valentina Shevchenko. So that's really where maybe you see that coming through. You also see an Alexa Grasso. When you put a belt on somebody, I can't remember what it was, but you say they become incrementally better, right? You get a percentage just becoming the champion because now you have to adapt. You have to become better. And we saw that from the fight that we saw with Alexa Grasso earlier this year, from the one that we saw recently last night. We saw growth in her as well. So I'm really, really excited. If we see her grow even more going into the next fight, who do you think gets it done in Shevchenko versus Grasso 3?
Ooh, you know, I think it's tough because, okay, the first one, I think Grasso kind of just took Shevchenko off guard. Not that Shevchenko is never not prepared, but I think that that was really that springboard of emergence of, this is my night, I'm going to go take it. But she was able to replicate that, but Valentina said, okay, now I really know who I'm dealing with. And I've got extra things to look out for that maybe I didn't think were quite as pertinent in the fight the first time, especially on the ground, the submission attempts, the power that Grasso has been showing to put out. Valentina knew that she could land the jab, and she was trying to get that in the first fight, which she did well. Second fight, you also saw her revert back to, in times of adversity, you saw her revert back to that jab because it seems to be able to get through. If you go fight number three, I mean, I would love to say Shevchenko, but like it was such a great match last night. I wish it would go 6 rounds. I wish it would go 10 rounds. Like, I want to see who can finish who. I mean, at towards the end of that fight, in fifth and only the fifth round, did it really look like, okay, Shevchenko's pretty gassed, Grasso's on top of her. That last minute and a half was pretty dominant from Grasso. But that is also knowing that that fifth round is coming to an end. So, and if you're comfortable up 3-1, I can see why you're like, hey, just weather the storm. Don't take damage, or don't take as much damage as possible. And if Shevchenko thought she was up 3-1, I can see why the fifth round ended that way. She was like, just don't get knocked out. Don't get finished. And then you have the win. Could be dangerous thinking if you play that game. And clearly, We saw it. I thought her comments were a little funny after the fight because she wasn't necessarily talking shit, and she did it in such like a kind of a purist way. Like, she wasn't like, I don't think she was absolutely pissed off, or at least she didn't come across that way. But she did say, you know, I think the judges might have felt a little bit of pressure. I think her exact words were, because, you know, it's like Mexican Independence Day. But she was like, I think if it was in a fair and neutral site, then I probably got the win. That's weird. You typically hear that from people when they lose. This was a draw. So, thanks for joining the chat, Debbie. Appreciate you. Go bananas, girl. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think of her comments after the fight?
I think it's really tough, right? Because it could be something where obviously we had a judge who's had a track record of not having the best scorecards. Yeah. It could be something where, you know, he judged the first four rounds and he was like, okay, if I give this fifth round a 10-9 to Alexa, she loses the fight, you know, or she loses the belt. Maybe I just, you know, made a little mistake earlier in the day. I'd give her a little 10-8, and then we call it even. We let Alexa keep the belt. We run it back, right? So maybe that's what we saw from Mike Bell, was just him seeing that last minute. You know, watching that fight again, obviously my internet cut out for the last round last night, so I missed the first, like, minute and a half of the fifth round. Caught, like, the last 4 or 3.5 minutes. So, you know, it was super dominant. The fight was back and forth overall because you had, you know, Grasso dropping Shevchenko. Shevchenko getting a mounted guillotine on Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso somehow being able to get out of that. And then you had, in the fifth round, Valentina was going for the takedown, messed it up. Grasso beautifully hopped on the back again. It almost seemed like deja vu. There was a point when she had that choke and it was in the fence and her face was on the ground, you really couldn't tell. I thought that choke was in. I really thought the choke was in, and I was curious. I wasn't sure if we were going to see the same exact thing with less than a minute to go. As far as who wins the third fight, I think that's, I'm going to have to give the edge to Alexa Grasso on this one, right?
Yeah, I think the way that the fight ended, until you see something different from Shevchenko, even if you did have her up 3-1, the results didn't go her way. It ended up in a draw. I would love, this is a fight that I would love to see go all three. I mean, I would love to see it go for a third and final so we can finally get, but here's the question. If it,
it might be a quadrilogy, because if Valentina wins, then it's 1-1-1, just like we just saw with the men's flyweights, right? Because now we have a fourth fight. But as far as the third one, I do think Valentina is the better fighter. Right. I want to go into it saying that she's definitely the better fighter. She's the more well-rounded fighter. We saw that. But I think there's just something about Alexa Grasso that is an opportunist within her. She's good at taking the opportunities when they present themselves to do what she has to do. Right. She had her moments in the she was getting dominated in the first fight until she read the spins of Valentina Shevchenko, hopped on the back, choked her out. This fight, it was again her taking advantage of just the small moments, maybe not necessarily dominating the fight, but knowing when to pick those spots and when that she can take advantage to get that win, right? So there's something about Alexa Grasso that's just a kryptonite in a way to Valentina Shevchenko, where Valentina is dominating most of the fight in a way, but there's just small parts that are really key parts where Alexa Grasso takes over and she's doing her thing as well. So I think, like, having said that, like I said, I do think Shevchenko is the better fighter. Going into the next fight, I think Grasso is going to continue to develop her ground game, continue to develop, you know, her wrestling, her counter defensive wrestling as well. And Shevchenko, like I said, even though it might just be a couple months from now, she's getting a little older, right? Yeah. And when you talk about lighter weight divisions age less gracefully than heavier weight divisions, right? Because what? They don't use power as much. They use speed. And your speed will decline much sooner than your power will, than like a heavyweight division. That's why you have guys in the heavyweights fighting in their 40s. You never see somebody in the flyweight or bantamweight fighting in their 40s. It's 34, 35 peak. And then from there, I think it's a great matchup. It's going to be super fun, man. I can't wait to see it. Any final thoughts on Grasso and Shevchenko?
No, man, it was just, I mean, that was up there with fight of the night. I think there was probably one or two other ones that you could definitely talk about, but those two for the main card for the title fight, fucking, it was absolutely awesome. I mean, it was a war going back and forth. I absolutely loved it. Great performance by those women.
Yeah, definitely. Now, definitely want to give, before we show some talk about Kevin Holland versus JDM, I want to give just a little love to Raul Rosas Jr. because, wow, that was a beautiful left hand. I didn't expect him to have that power. You know, it's tough to see an 18-year-old kid. I believe he's still 18, right? So 18-year-old kid knocking out someone the way he did was just absolutely awesome. Shout out to him, and especially on Noche UFC. You know what I mean? It's just an awesome moment for him and the growth of his career. For him to continue to develop, to build his brand, I think it's good for the UFC, too, to continue to have these new young stars that can become household names and become household faces. Obviously, they just merged with WWE, so now there's going to be even more faces and more eyes on the UFC that hasn't been before, right? I'm a guy that started off loving pro wrestling, and I got into UFC after that and MMA after that. So there'll be more fans coming in, too. Raul Rosas Jr., the people that can talk, people that can grab a mic and actually demand an audience. Those are the type of people that the UFC are going to have to build around moving forward. I want to give a quick shout out to him. But Kevin Holland versus JDM, did you have any thoughts on that one before we close out here, my man?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I thought the fight, it was a solid fight. I really thought Kevin Holland was going to try to do a little bit more with his striking. He did well. Usually he likes to throw in some funky stuff. I mean, he's not necessarily on par with like somebody like a McGregor or a Sugar Sean O'Malley or somebody, or a Yair Rodriguez, somebody who's going to throw some absolutely wild stuff. But he has a repertoire where he can pull some things out in times of need and do some funky stuff. And I thought last night it was a good fight between him and Jack Della Maddalena, but something was lacking. And even the post-fight interview from Jack Della Maddalena, or Maddalena, throwing his name together is hard sometimes.
So long.
It was almost like he was like, I won. That's cool. I'm not a judge. I don't know. Like, I could have gone either way in that fight too. Like, I actually had Holland winning. I thought Jack was landing quite a few good shots, but I thought Holland was the one putting together some combos and doing constant movement, a little bit more pressure, a little bit more back and forth. I thought it was kind of it was like after the fight, I was kind of scratching my head going, was that a good fight? Was that a fight that we were expecting to see? Was it kind of an awkward fight? Because did both guys cancel each other out to an extent? Like, I don't know. It wasn't that it didn't have excitement either. It was just for some reason, it was odd.
It never got going. It never felt like the fight got going and the gears got rolling. It almost,
It didn't take off.
it was always in first gear. You know what I mean? It always felt like they were still feeling each other out, even towards the end of the fight. You know, like you said, I had it 1-1 going into the third. I thought Jack probably landed, as a Holland fan, a big Holland fan, I thought Jack, you know, landed the more power shots in that third round. So I edged it out, giving him the fight. I thought that was probably the right call. Like you said, it could have gone either way. You know what I mean? But it was a fight, like you said, Kevin Holland. I mean, the knockout that he has, let's say against Jacare, right? Those, like you said, those weird kind of different types of knockouts that he can pull off. Those are the types of things that you see from Kevin Holland, and you didn't see those tonight. So obviously you maybe it's because he felt that power, and some of those hooks got through, right? There was some of those shots by Jack that did get through. Shout out to Kevin, did a really good job keeping that shoulder up, keeping that right hand, right? He does a really good job rolling with shots too. So even when he's getting hit, he's not taking the full brunt of the force. He's allowing himself to kind of move with it too. A couple of times in that fight where he kind of turned his back, I didn't really like that too much. That's not really the best visual as a fighter. Yeah.
No,
but outside of that, you know, it was a good fight. It just never really got into gear. I do think the right guy won. Kevin Holland posted on his Instagram. He was like, I fucked that up. So I guess he fucked up and he could have probably done a little bit more, you know, but it was a fun fight. And overall, it was a good card, man. Noche UFC. It was a good card. Solid. Overall.
Solid. Fans were good. Yeah. No, it was just to touch on the Holland fight. It looked like Holland was pissed afterwards. I think he thought he won. Then maybe after kind of reality set in, he realized there was a lot of opportunities that he missed, Maddalena didn't, you know, it was kind of weird. But no, UFC Noche, super cool. Also, we didn't even talk about Alexa Grasso's belt that she got afterwards. They've customized the belt for her that is in all different rainbow colors instead of just the typical black and gold for the UFC. Even though she didn't technically win the fight, she still didn't lose. So therefore, she retains the belt, which means she is still the champion. I still thought that was really cool that instead of giving her a regular belt, they gave her this customized belt that was made in Mexico as well. So very, very cool overall. ESPN, UFC Noche, super fun. Had a good time watching it. Quick shout out to... where'd my stuff go? On the card, I just wanted to give a shout out to, like you said, Raul Rosas Jr. Also wanted to give another shout out to Luby Godinez. I thought,
yes, oh my god, that fight was so good. I'm so glad you brought that up,
dude. Luby Godinez, just before we sign off here, because we're gonna make it a short show today, she was fighting Elise Reed for the main preliminary fight, but holy shit, Luby Godinez just looked on her absolute game with not only the striking, not only the power, the submission attempts. I got to give credit to Elise Reed, because at one point I thought her arm was bent completely the other direction and was breaking, and she did not tap. She did not have – she wasn't injured somehow. I don't know how she survived that. Tough on her, but no. Lupi Gdynia's and also Roman Kapilov against my guy Josh Fram. Roman Kapilov, the speed on Kapilov last night was absolutely out of this world. Anytime Josh Fram started to make a little progress, Roman hit him with a multi-hit combo, was able to take him down with not only a liver kick, but then a follow-up liver shot, setting Josh Fram down, unfortunately. But no, those two fights last night, I had to give a shout-out because those were awesome.
No, I love what you said. I really wanted to talk about Lupi. If you didn't actually say it, I was going to say it as well. She looked really good, man. That slam to the finish to the end there, absolutely beautiful. I was actually at my friend's wedding, and we had the fight. I had the fight on the table, and I was watching it with my girlfriend's best friend, and we were just all going crazy about like that shit. That was just like the coolest thing. Is like, man, they were just scrapping. That was one of the best fights of the night for sure. Of course, I want to give a shout out, me personally, Tracy Cortez. She came back. She had a good win too. That was a scrap. That was an absolute scrap between those two ladies. So, man, the ladies put on a show tonight. Like, we between did. The Cortez and Jazavadicius fight, and then you had, like you said, the Lupi versus Elise Reed, and then the main event. Like, the ladies absolutely showed out tonight.
And not only did they show out, but their striking and power shots were so nasty. Like, all night, you were just like, hot damn, ladies, let's go. They came to scrap, man.
They came to bang for sure. They were putting some pack in those spots. But, hey, guys, we appreciate you. We're coming up on 20 minutes. We see you guys liking the video. We see you guys showing the love. We appreciate you guys following us. Make sure you guys, if you're not already, like us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the good stuff. Make sure you follow the boy, Mr. Wake and Blake, right? And follow me as well. I'd appreciate that. We got some interviews going. I make sure I got, you know, some post-fight questions. We just with some fights over with Jorge Masvidal and Game Bread, Bare Knuckle, right? So make sure you guys check that out. Appreciate you guys as always. And we'll catch you guys after the next show.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event. So give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.